Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Perry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in Terrace, British Columbia. Beautiful day out here today and really enjoying the sunshine. I'm coming to you through People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. People's Internet Radio, we are a viewer-funded station, folks, so if you appreciate the content and what we're doing over here, please hit the donate button. I know the station would much appreciate the support. And also thanks to Steve Roberts today for producing my show. I'm joined by Rick Boswick and Derek Story, and these two gentlemen, I tell you, they got testicles the size of elephants, because what they've done here in the last couple of days, I applaud. They've actually taken the law into their hands and done something with it. I'm going to let them tell you what they've done. And this really is kind of inspiring a lot of Canadians to understand that we have a lot more power than we know we do. And welcome to the show, gentlemen. And
thank
I'm
you.
Going to guys tell people what you've done here in the last couple of days, because I don't think people over in across the ocean there in England, Ireland, Scotland, and whatever have heard about what's going on in Toronto, Ontario. So fill us in, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks.
Well, very productive time, our couple weeks in Toronto. And, obviously what we do, we're activists / journalists. And this is full time for us. So we cover events whenever we can get to them. And, we just so happen to be at the Pegida rally on the 23rd of this month, I'm not sure which
one. No, we're still this month.
Okay. And, we saw it was a real increase in the violence from Antifa. And we learned that, the mayor, John Tory, had tweeted out a defamatory tweet calling us all white supremacists and essentially gave the go ahead, the green light for these communists. You know, we all know them as Antifa. It emboldened them to act, a lot more violently. And, you know, the adverse effects after the fact are now, we have, attempts to dox everybody at the event, even a minor. We know, some of the people that were doing filming, and, there's some really nasty threats on one of their new pages. It's actually the page is called Threat. So we decided to make a stand and go and try and, citizens arrest Mayor Tory
right in the city hall.
And of course they wouldn't let us in the ivory tower to do so. So, five stops later through different departments, we finally found a really good division that had helped us with Sandra's efforts prior. So we said, let's go to Division 33 here in Toronto. And we now have a case open that's going to be sent to detectives against Antifa and their actions online.
John Tory's tweet, if we have right here.
And John Tory's tweet, yeah, let's read this. So it says, I strongly condemn the ideology and tactics of white supremacists planning to demonstrate and instruct and disrupt today in our city. There is no place for them in our Toronto. I've spoken to Chief Mark Saunders. He assures me police are aware of the event and plans are in place to deal with it. So we had many people like Mary and Laura and others who have gone to many Pegida rallies, the same place. It's standard where the barricades go and everything. But they saw a stark difference in the amount of violence and rhetoric that these tweets like these endorsements essentially are emboldening them to increase their hate.
We also had one other person that was at the protest. She's been doing rallies forever, and she is terrified. She's afraid to go to Walmart. She's afraid of white people.
Mm-hmm. So we're having a really, you know, so basically, now that the case is open, the most urgent thing that people can do to get involved from coast to coast, any Canadian citizen who either has been assaulted by Antifa
or experienced it,
all the way down to a cooling effect where they're afraid to participate and exercise their rights of free speech, free assembly, because out of worry of this group. And we're collecting all testimonials. We've opened up an email account, and it's called takedownantifa@gmail.com. And we want everybody's testimonials, because we want to just stockpile. We want to flood the case with grievances from coast to coast, and basically so that they won't refuse it.
Rick, can you post that email in the chat here on Skype, and I will share it to the chat room over on the station?
Certainly.
You know, here, what we're talking about right now, to me, this should be not just a Canadian issue. This should be a worldwide issue. So what we're doing right now, sure, we're talking to the Canadian audiences, but I say to people in Europe, I say to people in France, I say to people anywhere in the world, right now, your input would be just as important as input from Canadian citizens on the actions of Antifa, especially now in light of the fact that they have been classified as a terrorist organization in the United States of America by the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah. This is a movement right now that I applaud what you guys are doing, but let's reach out to everybody in the world. Let's get
this is a chance for everybody to say something.
Anybody that's been impacted by Antifa in any shape or form around the planet right now, let's get an email from you. I'd love to hear them. These guys would love to hear from you.
We would.
Yes,
we would.
Definitely.
Because the more we stockpile, you know, three people, they could dismiss it. But if we have the support that I hope we can get from all these different communities, these groups, these patriots worldwide, then we can make it so big that they don't dare dismiss it. And then once we bring it into the forum of a courtroom, then, I mean, you know, we know they can't debate it on the street. That's why they're violent. So, I mean, conservative versus SJW NPC, I think it'll be a landslide in court.
Yeah, when I seen that video, man, of that elderly gentleman being attacked in Toronto by Antifa there about 2 months ago.
In Hamilton,
you know, that just made my blood boil. And for one time in my life, I wish I had been standing in close proximity to those people, because the situation would have been totally different. And why Canadians can stand by or even drive by and see an elderly man assaulted by some thug is beyond me. It really shows the apathy in our society. But there is good people out there, and I'm talking to two of them right now. You know, what you guys did yesterday, everybody in Canada can take that same momentum and run with it right now, because eventually the mainstream media is going to have to give this attention. If it actually becomes a criminal case against John Tory, they will be forced to expose it. Right now they're not covering it. You're hearing crickets from about this. But if it actually becomes a criminal situation, they'll be forced to expose it. And boy, I'll tell you, we could really take the lid off the whole problem right there.
Like, start small, you know. Like, I know Justin Trudeau is a big problem right now in Canada, but, like, if we got mayors doing this, if we start taking them down one by one, the ones that do this, then it gives us a bigger window to go after the big government.
It'll get a lot of corrupt politicians to think twice. We want white supremacists and all these keywords, these talking points that the left uses. We want them to be recognized almost as derogatory as the N-word, right? Because, I mean, it really is when you're demonizing your political opposition. And that's what it is. When you incite violent action or violent intent and threats against your political opposition, which essentially is what all these groups are, then that's the textbook definition of terrorism. And we have many efforts. Some people believe in the RIC, the referendum initiated by citizens. Others believe in the de jure government. I mean, those are grandiose plans, and it takes a lot of effort. This is a grassroots plan from the ground up, because exactly all of us,
we're just tired of being silent.
All of us focused on this one individual. We can do this, and it'll send a message through the chain of command that this is not acceptable anymore.
We're talking about the same John Tory that silenced Faith Goldie in the Trump. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Control of Bell Media. We're talking about the same guy.
Yeah. And she's in the loop fully. Kevin Johnson, who was assaulted by them, he's in the loop. So we'll get his testimony.
And tons of other
people. And with Faith, especially surrounding the campaign, it shows a history of bias and abuse of power. So he can't come back and say, well, I was misinformed. We're going to prove intent here. And this opens the door for civil actions. It opens the door against fake news.
Yes.
And all the blanket labeling that they do when they call us all right, but then they fail to call Antifa the communists. They just say counter protesters.
Yeah.
We know the games that they play. So we're pointing them out, and we're going to criminalize them.
Well, it takes, believe it or not, folks, what Rick and Derek are doing right now takes a lot of courage, because there is people in this country right now, believe it or not, that we wish great bodily harm to these gentlemen for simply coming forward and taking a stand. So kudos to you, but we all need to take this as an example right now. Because if we don't stand up for what's going on, I believe in the near future, our window of opportunity is going to close. And, Justin Trudeau has found himself in a big pot of boiling water. But I, you know what, I look at this whole thing going on with Trudeau and Jody and everything else, and I believe we're just seeing a big charade being played on the Canadian people, guys. That's what I see. Yeah. I believe really what's going to come out of this is that Trudeau is going to be forced to resign. And, of course, the knight in shining armor that's going to step forward and try and give the Liberal Party some kind of credibility of being honest will be Jody. And I can see her stepping right into that and being put as in party leader and blah, blah, blah. And of course, with the momentum of her coming forward and standing up against these cronies, I believe there's a great deception going to be played on the Canadian people. But that's a deep rabbit hole. So we'll leave that one for now. We'll leave that one for now. But you guys know where I'm going. I mean, a liberal is a liberal. Is a liberal is a liberal, and you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think we're just watching the big.
Just because you get a paint job on your hoopty doesn't mean it's a better car.
Well, wait a second. Justin tells you that it's sunny ways, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Government and Canadian history, that nothing will be hid from the Canadian people. Boy, oh boy.
Oh, sure.
I haven't talked to anybody in the last couple of weeks that don't hate this guy right to the core. Mm-hmm. So,
and the facade, look at Russia, you know, finally after 2 years, and I hear that Trump is going after all of these people. Anderson Cooper, actually, I believe tonight was in Ottawa, and I wish I could have been there to ask him about the 2 years of slander and conspiracy theory.
Yeah, they're all eating goat right now, and they just have no idea what to do right now. They're scrambling. It's like you watch all the little rats are going to start jumping off the ship.
Yeah, definitely.
Really exposed for what is going on. And I say kudos to Trump, like him or hate him. Him going after these people is absolutely critical, because we're talking about the rule of law. And we're talking about the thing in Canada right now with Justin Trudeau, his absolute corruption and the level of corruption in our Canadian government. If this guy doesn't go down, but that's not going to solve the problem, guys. You know that, and I know that.
No.
We have to cleanse the system. It needs to be brought in. Something, our whole system needs to be changed. And Doug Forrest, my guest, I'm going to get an education second hour, guys, because Doug's going to really give me some information. You know, I'm deep up on. So I'm looking forward to that. But we do have still a window of opportunity to deal with this legally.
We don't want it to get to Paris level violence. These actions that we take, we have no time left to think or contemplate about doing them. You can obviously see with tragedies like Christchurch, whether or not, you know, manufactured or generic, they are being utilized as psyops against all people who are resisting this global agenda in all these countries. It is nationalism versus globalism. It's sovereignty. It's the power of the country over the UN. It's the power of the individual over the state.
Yeah, Friday night, Michelle Rempel and Blaine Calkins and Glenn Motz were in Kitimat for a town hall.
Okay.
And of course, I ran up there with my Trudeau for Prison t-shirt on.
Nice.
When it came time for question period, Glenn stepped in. He says, I want to talk to the guy with the best t-shirt on in the room. He's talking about my Trudeau for Prison. Well, I wear it everywhere, buddy. I have five of them. And I actually just got it updated to 2019 now, because I started it in 2018 wearing this stupid t-shirt. Started more conversations in my life. But anyways, I put some real hard questions to these folks. And I probably made them feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I put a couple hard questions forward as far as Canada's involvement in the United Nations and vice versa. And, you know, I got a chance to sit down and talk with all three of them after the town hall. I stood and talked with Michelle for about 15, 20 minutes. And I put some real hard questions to her, really, really hard questions. You know, she skirted a couple of them, but a couple of them she gave me some pretty legitimate answers. And Blaine Calkins, it was actually good to meet these people. Even though I'm not a supporter of the Conservative Party, it was good to meet them face-to-face and look them in the eye and ask them questions.
So
it was a lot of fun, believe it or not. It was a lot of fun. And, of course, the first question I put to them, guys, was, how do you guys sit in the House of Commons every day, in and out, and listen to the total bull crap coming out of Trudeau's mouth? And the whole place just broke into laughter. Blaine says, well, I wear earplugs. Yeah. I do the same thing. We can't even listen to the guy talk. It's that bad. I get the same reaction when I listen to that man talk, guys. I get a violent physical feeling of wanting to puke.
Mm-hmm. No, we get that from other citizens on the street. You know, obviously in this divided, climate, you're not sure if it's friend or foe until you start talking. And, universally, like just yesterday, it was a stranger, a friend of a friend. So we keep to ourselves. And, the minute he starts talking about Justin Trudeau's lack of, speaking skills, it's like, oh, okay, you're on our side. That's good.
Yeah. He said it to her. So you're my friend.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, just the way he treated that indigenous lady the other night. The paid 15
over the Mercury, yeah.
Yeah,
thank you for your donation.
Yeah, I mean, if I'd have been there, man, I would have really had a hard time refraining myself, you know? I really would have. I don't know how people in the audience could actually applaud that kind of response from the leader of our so-called country. It was just absolutely infuriating to see that, man. And his accuracy and his actual, who he really is inside. And it spoke there loudly. But anyways, Michelle emailed me back. She's been gracious enough. I'm going to get her on for an hour.
And
I'm gonna,
nice.
Next week she's agreed to an hour on radio with me.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's great, yeah.
Yeah, she's, you know, I'm not a conservative party person, but the fact that she's willing to come on and take some hard questions from me, I think that's a good step forward.
Definitely.
I want some questions this week to fire at her, guys, so you think about it this week, and I'll get a list made up for next week.
Definitely, we will do that
for sure. Another thing that another avenue that we could take that I want to mention to your viewers is that we also went to try and see Premier Ford. Now, obviously, it's by appointment only, but they gave us an email that we could send our I guess request to gain an audience. And if your viewers want to actually reach out as well and mention us and say, you know, take the meeting with these guys, they want to see what you're going to do about this you know, this corruption, especially with Tory, then it's Premier at Ontario. Ontario.ca. Yeah, that's right. And you could just, in the headline, you just mentioned it's regarding the open case against Antifa violence and Tory's post, his tweet. Huh. And that'll basically, if everybody uses the same header, then, you know, he'll get massive amounts of emails regarding this, and you can show that support. I mean, it's all about the power of the people.
Really?
So,
yeah.
You know, when we go in, I mean, it's very comforting to know that when we take a step like this, we're representing everybody, right? We're, you know, everybody who hates this, you know, criminal government.
Yeah,
and,
we gotta stop these guys.
You know, I mean, it's an honor to represent 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 people, but we need that solid evidence. We need those testimonies in so that we can comfortably say we are representing this many people.
Yeah, well, people are at a point, like you said, now are afraid to even go to a peaceful demonstration because of the presence of Antifa. We see what's going on with those guys. Everywhere they go, they're just criminals behind a mask.
Yeah,
and it's about time they got called out, and I really, really applaud what you guys are doing. But like I said, this should be an example for everybody. It's time for us all to stand up and say we've taken enough of this crap. We're not going to take this anymore. And it looks all good to our windows and screen that, because really it is the time now that if we don't stop what we see going on, we might lose the opportunity to do that in the near future. And I don't see that.
Yeah, exactly. Then Canada will fall.
Look what's happened to Canada in the last 3 years. You know, one of the questions I was sitting talking to, Gavin, his name is, from, he's a representative. And I said to him, and I put this question in front of him and about five or six other people, I said, point to me one thing that Justin Trudeau has done since he's become prime minister that's actually benefited Canada. One
legalized
thing.
Weed, but
that's
it is
the only one you get. Yeah, that's the only one you get.
Yeah. And he says, you know what? I can honestly not think of one thing he has done to actually benefit Canada. And these guys are sitting there day in, day out, listening to his bullcrap in Ottawa, you know? So it's good to put some questions to him. It really is. Because he hasn't done a single thing for Canada. $18 billion last year. Oh, he's a lunatic, man.
Yeah.
And he really is destroying. But the good thing about it, guys, Canada now is really, I believe a lot of Canadians that were asleep here a little while ago are really starting to wake up, especially with the SNC scandal.
And yeah, definitely.
You guys listened to that recorded conversation, of course, between Wernick and Jody Wilson. You listened to it?
Yeah, we listened to it. Wasn't it Andrew Scheer that found that leaked it?
Well, I don't know if he found it, but I've listened to it three times. Mm-hmm. And quite a few people have already released videos on Buddy, but it really, it absolutely just lambastes Justin Trudeau and his cronies. Because everything they said about Jody Wilson's testimony that they said was false was absolutely 100% vindicated in that report conversation. So Justin's got some real troubles on his hands here in the next couple of days. But then I really do honestly think a ploy is being played on us.
I do too. I mean, the Trump effect in Canada is that they had to, their agenda was to destroy the West. They have to destroy the first world nations in order to get their world tyranny. Trudeau had to double down and, speed up the agenda, probably, the plan for Canada because of Trump. And that's why, just like the boiling frog, right? You turn up the water slow enough. He'll sit in it and boil to death. But I guess the frog woke up now.
Canada, the frog jumped out. That's hot.
Yeah, we as Canadian frogs, we jumped out and we went, whoa, you are really, really bad for this country.
Well, that's kind of an understatement, guys. It really is. But, it is a good thing that all this came out and exposed the government for what they are. But then I really kind of, I have to stay outside the box and still play along with the idea that, the numbers have been dropping, his popularity, his essence has really tarnished the name of the Liberal Party. Everybody's aware of the scandals after scandals after scandals coming out. So what do you do right now at this point to regain faith in the public? You bring in, like, the knight in shiny armor and calls out the bad guys and blah, 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 gets them removed from power. But like I said, a liberal is a liberal. And
she still signed on to the Paris climate, COP21, I believe. She still was for the climate. Yeah, the genders. Gender agenda.
Big, big supporter of gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
Supporter of it. So that speaks volumes for this woman. But then what do you achieve by bringing in an indigenous leader? All of a sudden you've got all the indigenous people in Canada going,
using the indigenous card, she's a woman and she's indigenous. So she's much more beyond reproach than trust fund white, little tater.
Exactly. So they picked the perfect candidate for the ploy, as far as I can see. So stay tuned, guys. We'll see what happens. But that's what I kind of figure is going to happen in the next little while. We'll see if we're correct. But I would be surprised at exactly how it plays down. But
no, I agree.
You guys been watching this flooding down in the States?
We haven't. We haven't.
I'm busy with a million other things too, honestly. But I hadn't paid a lot of attention to it. But what I'm seeing down there, a couple days ago, I kind of looked at a couple links on it. And yesterday, I spent some time looking at it, listening to some of the reports. But what we're looking at right now is probably the biggest disaster the United States has ever seen.
Wow.
Because of what's going to happen to the crop production this year. The amount, the estimates are in the billions and billions and billions of bushels of food that will not be grown, and the billions of bushels that have already been destroyed, the soybean stocks and everything else that have been destroyed, the fact that most of these farmers will not be able to plant this year. It's just, we're talking about the grain belt of the United States of America. We're talking about a feeder of a good percentage of the world population, and it's being taken away. So hold on to your hats, guys. If ever there was a time right now to stockpile food, I think that'd probably be a smart thing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and with our new ever popular carbon tax, you can see you're going to see prices just go through the roof.
Well,
we already are
soon,
and we already are. I mean, a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, we in Ontario were dealing with about 96 cents for a liter of gas, and they know that April 1st, a lot of this is being implemented, so they're slowly jacking it up so that there's not a 30-40 cent jump overnight.
Yeah, they're going to condition you for it.
So they play their games, where they raise it up right before a popular vacation holiday, and then it'll take 2 weeks to drop it back down. And they love, OPEC and the speculators, they love, the oil monopolies love playing those games through the summer with us.
If anybody wanted to join in a conversation, I could give a call-out number to folks that if they want to call in and have a talk or add a thought to it, you can call in at 269-409-1950. 269-409-1950 if you want to talk to Rick, Eric, or myself. Or you can also contact my producer, Steve Roberts, at SuperBigBadMan1 on Skype, and we'll join you in the call.
Perfect.
Yeah, Boy, I'll tell you, we seem to be seeing a real increase in chaos around the planet right now. And I'm seeing it with everybody, man. Everybody I talk to, I don't know who, it doesn't matter who I talk to or where I talk to them right now, we seem to be seeing an increase in chaos. And
yeah,
definitely.
A lot of it is, of course, being done by design. To,
well, just the amount of even normies, right? And you can tell the anxiousness.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, we look at weather manipulation, weather events. I mean, we're seeing stuff going on right now in the world that we haven't seen in our recorded time on the planet, whether it's happened before in millions of years ago, the records seem to indicate, but we're seeing stuff happen right now that, man, the storms, the cyclones, the increase in earthquakes, the increase in volcanic activity, it seems to be increasing by the day. So we're kind of interesting times right now, guys.
We are. We are.
Very interesting times.
Yeah, where it's all going, nobody knows for sure, but we definitely are seeing lots of crazy stuff going on right now.
Well, I'm also, I'm not sure if you know, but I'm also a Christian, and we've actually been fortunate enough to be staying with a couple of street preachers in Toronto while we're here. And there are many, I still have to do some interviews with them, but there are so many similarities between biblical scripture and what we're seeing, what's going on now with, you know, all the evil being exposed, the birth pains of the planet. Yeah, great time, exciting time to be alive.
Well, I don't start my day without a prayer to Jesus Christ, Rick, so I'm a Christian too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want the show to really get into biblical prophecy that kind of a discussion right now, but to say that what we see going on right now doesn't correlate almost undeniably to the letter, to the T, with what we see in all prophecies about this particular time. It doesn't matter if you look at the Bible is very accurate, but Mayan prophecies, all these prophecies are all pointing to this particular time that we see by an accumulation of events, man, that we see going on. The RFID chip, cash society being implemented on the world. If that's going to come in the next 2 to 3 years. You're going to see a real big push to a cash society.
And there's already been articles of companies in Europe where it's voluntary now, but everything that comes out as voluntary ends up being mandatory.
Exactly. You see it in America, man, where American companies now are starting to encourage their employees to chip themselves. You know, the new cool thing to do, you know, you don't have to carry a wallet. All you have to do is go boop and you're done. Yeah. Well, people think this is great and it's going to be sold to the public as a new, safe, cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it trendy.
Well, and they'll entice you with bonuses, you know.
Yeah.
Upgrade to luxury class on this airline if you do this.
Yeah, if you have the chip. Special rewards if you have the chip.
Yeah.
Get a tax return earlier by chipping. I mean, we can see how it's being sold. We see what's going on in India with biometric. They're almost into a complete cashless society now. We see it being pushed hard in Sweden. And now France is starting to really pick up the ball and run with it. It's going to be really pushed hard on the whole world here in the next couple, 3 years. And if they ever get to that point, my friends, we know they're going to have complete control over society. But getting back to biblical, the mark of the beast is talked about many, many times in prophecy. And boy, we're very close to that reality, aren't we?
Yeah, we are close. We are. That's why, you know, and I think that's, you know, I mean, you can have right of center activists that maybe are atheists. But I find that overwhelming, these communists, these radical left, all of them are atheists.
They're all satanic children molesting sacrifices is what they are.
Yeah, they've chosen their side. It really is it is a battle between good and evil.
Well, we see the third leading Catholic in the world now in jail.
Yep.
Yeah.
What does that say to you, folks? Now we talked about this earlier today on a show I was on about the fact that now the Pope is preaching to his people that the Quran and the Bible are compatible, that Islam and Christianity are compatible. I mean, give your head a little shake. You look at the history of the Catholic Church and how the Jesuits and the Freemasons invaded the Catholic Church and what it is today, strictly a devil-worshipping organization under the guise of Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all in our face, black and white right now, folks. It really is. And people still are being misled by this guy. I think he's a perfect candidate.
Distracted.
I think he's a
perfect candidate. There's a lot of bread and circus out there. You know, people can... a lot of people, they're so busy with their 9-to-5s, they don't want to be political. It hurts their head to even think about it.
Funny, I get that response from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be involved in political.
Yeah, maybe it's the 5G.
Yeah, the 5G.
It must be something because, you know what, the one thing that we should be paying attention to is what's going on in our country. And yet, like I said, many Canadians are apathetic to it. They just don't seem to care. They'd rather watch the hockey game, drink their beer, go to work, get up, watch the hockey game, you know?
And when you realize, I mean, when you see publicly what these people in charge of our planet, you know, the people with all the power, when you see their plan for us, we are literally in a stockyard waiting to go into the slaughterhouse. And I think we're a lot smarter than cows because we are realizing, but, you know.
That's a slaughterhouse over there.
Exactly, you know.
That funny looking barrel there.
Like, I'm getting a t-shirt. I'm going to get a t-shirt made, and it's going to basically say, I tried to warn you. And I'll, you know, unfortunately, as the chaos gets more and more, I'll be able to wear that all the time because I'm getting sick of saying, I told you so.
Anything that starts a conversation is a good thing to wear on your shirt, man.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. It is. Like I said, that simple t-shirt that I got made up started, what it's done is giving people an opportunity that would normally not talk about things that are really bugging them. Like our government gives them an opportunity to talk to somebody that they know is already on the same page as them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what's next for you guys? When do you find out about this investigation? And you've actually got names of detectives that are involved?
Well, we got cards and stuff, emails.
We got all the contact info. So they're going to, regardless whether or not they decide they're going to pursue it or not, we should get a call. I believe they said about a week or two. Which is why it's really crucial that people do get their testimonies in to takedownantifa@gmail.com.
Keep them coming because we can keep sending them.
Keep them coming because, yes, exactly. The more we overwhelm them with testimonials and evidence, of course, you know, you can sit there and type in Antifa violence and for weeks watch content without repeating anything.
Yeah.
So that's well documented throughout their entire history. But it's really about the effects, how it's been affecting everyday Canadians' lives. Their ability to exercise their rights. And so then after that, hopefully they do take the case and pursue it. And then it's on. Then, you know, we'll hopefully take it to court and it'll set precedent so that later on we can go after people for defaming us, whether it be CBC or different left-leaning newspapers or blogs or, you know, opinion columns.
I just gotta say, you know, we're not silenced yet. We still can speak. So speak.
Speak now. Exactly.
You mean every media outlet in Canada you're talking about, correct?
Pretty much. Like I said, we want, you know, they've demonized words like nationalist, white nationalist. I mean, I'm a cultural preservationist. Faith Goldie did a really great, video today, and it had the same feel as a World Wildlife Federation, you know.
We're going extinct.
Yeah, we're going extinct. Yeah, you know, their habitat is being invaded, the European Canadian. Right. So.
Well, it is. It is, man.
Absolutely, it is.
Of course. I mean, take a look at what's going on in Europe, man. Holy smokes. I mean, that country, it's not safe for German women to walk the street at night anymore. I sure don't want to be living in a society like that, but that's what we see coming here. It's the same agenda, just 10 years or 8 years behind them.
Yeah. So. And that's the shame too, is, you know, we have the foresight. We just have to look at other areas of the planet and see what's coming towards us.
So, question, are you guys still, you're not at Kevin Johnson's place anymore. You're staying in another place now in Toronto, correct?
Yeah, correct.
You were at Kevin's for a bit. Now, how is he doing these days?
He's doing okay. Obviously, he's got his legal battles that he's still dealing with Tiny Town and the beach where they were trying to, I forget her name, Connie Sung. Oh, yeah. Okay, I won't mention. But anyway, that issue over the beach that was public that the residents were trying to make private. So that's still going on. And they've also brought him out. Sorry, he just recently, he's going to fight the city regarding his mayoral signs during his campaign.
Right.
Well, so they're trying to nail him for, I believe, not taking them down or improperly posting them. And he's countering, saying, well, the city was actively taking them down during the campaign.
So what's the problem?
And that's what we noticed, is they were taking them down every night during the campaign. And as soon as the campaign was over, they didn't remove any. So, you know, it wasn't standard practice to be doing that. And Bonnie, when she got in, she changed the law so that you couldn't post on public property. So you had to go and get permission from private businesses, and the private businesses and homeowners are going to favor the incumbent.
So how far is society gone when somebody tells you can't post on on public property?
Yeah.
That alone is an outright fascist statement. And We see the roots of fascism growing in Canada at light speed right now. People better wake up to it, guys, because I'm in fear right now for the future of this country. I really am.
Mm-hmm. It's getting scarier and scarier every day.
It's getting scarier and scarier because every day their power gets stronger. And every day they take a little piece of our freedom. And they do it under the disguise of keeping us safe and secure. And we're working in your best interest. I look at the new gun legislation laws they're trying to pass. Just barbaric. They're attacking
gun owners in Canada, too. Speak up.
If you look at the numbers, which I really have looked at the numbers, man, and the numbers absolutely defy anything the government has to say about gun control in Canada. And yet, here we are, you know, talking about getting close to disarming Canadians. They won't stop till they have the guns. Look what happened in New Zealand over this attack at a mosque.
Yeah.
The biggest story in the whole world for a week was these 40 people that were murdered in a mosque. Yet the same media is crickets about thousands of Christians that are being slaughtered or thousands of other people that are being slaughtered around the world. They're crickets about that. But, of course, this one incident happens. The media jumps all over. It's every news station in the world is having vigils. And out comes the New Zealand government saying we're taking our guns away. And now they're out there confiscating them from their citizens.
Yeah.
Can't people wake up? Man, look what Mao did. Look what Stalin did. Look what Hitler did. He took the guns from their citizens. They all took their guns from their citizens. And look what happened to those societies. And the same thing's going to happen here. History repeats itself. It's just an agenda. People better wake up to it, guys. I'll tell you. Because they're ramping it up.
Yeah, and you don't, I mean, you don't have to be a gun aficionado. Obviously, I believe in self-protection, but pick up on your farming skills. Learn how to, you know, learn a little bit about off-grid living. Everybody, it's common practice. You have a escape plan for your family in case of fire, but nobody really thinks about how to leave a burning city when everything is in chaos.
Absolutely. You should be connecting with friends and neighbors that think like you, too. And there is people around your community that are thinking like you. And those are the people that you got to reach out and connect with, because a good percentage of the population, you guys know and I know, will remain in the matrix right till the day they come knocking on the door or the poop hits the fan. They'll still be believing that the government is working in their best interest. But there's a good percentage of us that knows that that's a lie. And those are the people we have to connect with, because when the shit, that, excuse me, the poop does hit the fan, those are the people we're going to need, right?
Well, and there are the people that will turn traitor on you and turn you in for to try and gain favor with the new authoritarian government.
Well, of course, brownie points.
You know, there's always going to be their George Soros's.
They think they're part of the party, but they're not, man.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, you know. I mean, even Alex Jones speaks about it. These people that, you know, have $10-20 million to their names, and they think that they're going to be part of the elite. No, they're part of the 95% that will be exterminated.
Yeah, read the Georgia Guidestones, man. Look at the
people. Did you get your ticket for the ARC?
Yeah,
I didn't see a blue sticker on my mailbox either. You know, I seen a red note, so kind of. I think a red one.
Yeah, you're done for.
Yeah, I think I made the list, buddy. I hope I made the list, because if we didn't make the list, guys, we're not doing something right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Corey's actually upset because since I've actually found out a key pitfall for Facebook, and that is when I started the online petition to have Antifa designated as a terrorist group, I was given my first 3-day jail sentence on Facebook. And then right after that expired, I started sharing the same petition again. I got a 7-day ban, so I'm out until the 5th of April. And when I tried to set up a Facebook page, we did successfully. It is Take Down the Real Fascists and Tory, but initially I was going to say Take Down Antifa, and it would not let me put that as the Facebook page name. So it's definitely their protected class online.
The algorithms are set up.
Yeah. And they're now moving. They're usually Antifa when they're countering us. And we got into discussions with the officers about how we never go and disrupt their events, right? It's always them trying to oppress us and take our speech away. But lost my train of thought.
That happens to me.
I forget. There's just so much going on right now.
Yeah, I know. I get them all the time. I call them brain farts.
Yeah, brain hurts.
As you get older, you get more and more of them, believe me, because I'll be talking and all of a sudden I'll completely lose my train of thought, and that happens once in a while, but people know that I'm not a professional radio guy. I'm just an old bald-headed fart up here trying to talk common sense to people, you know?
Yeah.
And there ain't too much common sense left in our world these days, guys. But on the bright side, I'm one signature away right now from revolutionizing and actually exposing to the north here industrial-based hemp building products.
Nice.
Well, the reserve that involves has actually been to the factory in Calgary. They've had two big things about it. They're building 27 new houses on a reserve up here. And this week, if I get this phone call, gentlemen, that they have signed, I will be 85 feet off the ground for about a month. Okay. Because, well, what it's going to do is, I talk about industrial based hemp products a lot, but it really, really take the lid off. It'd allow me to go to the papers and, blah, 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 and expose it to the whole north. And of course, if one reservation embraces these products, the rest of them are going to be looking at it with keen interest, and, could be a new chapter opening up. So, I'm praying and hoping that phone call comes this week and they put their signature on the dotted line, and, life will change up here for a lot of people.
That's great. And it stands as an example to other reservations that this is a positive step.
Oh, if this goes ahead, guys, and I'm never going to count my chickens till they hatch, but if it goes ahead, it will absolutely, like I said, revolutionize the way we build in this part of the world, because other reservations will look at this and they'll start looking at the factors involved and what we can do with industrial hemp as opposed to conventional wood. And anybody, Rick or Derek, that takes a half hour or even 20 minutes of their time and seriously looks at this, it would take an IQ of 6 to realize that there is absolutely no comparison between the two products. None. There is nothing that wood can do that would be more beneficial than hemp. Nothing in the world. So the sooner we get the education out there and get people involved, that's a good day. It's a step forward.
It is. Yeah, I know. No, good luck with that. I hope that you get good news.
I'll tell you, I'll be doing a show on it. I've already had Terry Radcliffe on. I tell people the company that I'm really promoting is a company called Just Biofiber. They're in Calgary, and you can Google their site, Just Biofiber. I have posted it in chat before, but there's an introduction video at their site, and all you have to do is sit there and listen to that introduction video. It's about 6 minutes long, and there's a follow-up video on the carbon sequestering properties of hemp. What is the most important factor above all the factors is its carbon sequestering abilities, outside of the fact it doesn't burn, blah, 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 last 600 years, gets stronger as it goes on, doesn't create black mold, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. When people really sit down and start looking at this stuff, it blows their mind. So anybody wants your mind blown, just go to that site, watch the introduction video, and then you'll ask yourself why we are not all building this at this particular point in history. So it's a good thing to get involved in. It gets me.
No, fast. I like it. I like it. And it also shows that both left and right can be concerned about the environment. But, the right's just a little bit better than AOC in finding solutions to help the climate.
I could literally get into a half hour rant about it right now, Rick, because it's not just the fact that we're going to be starting to build these products. It's the demand for the product itself, industrial hemp. And of course, as more industrial hemp is grown on the planet, the more detoxified our soil is going to become. Our soil is toxic. We've got all kinds of contaminants in our soil. And of course, that ends up in our food and we're eating it. Well, industrial hemp has an incredible ability to detoxify any contaminant present in soil. So that alone, you look at the offshoot benefits of embracing hemp. It could literally, like Rick Simpson said this to me about 7 years ago now. And, I laughed when he first said it to me. He said that, hemp can save the planet. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm a believer in that, guys. So when I get involved in something like this, the passion just flows. I see the implications for the future and something we can do that's positive for the human race. But anyways, that's enough of the hemp rant.
Maybe we can get rid of these cancer franchises that seem to have popped up at every single hospital over the past 10 years.
Yeah.
What, you mean the biggest business in North America, the cancer industry?
The 169, or sorry, the 189, I believe, $1 billion per year. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, the VIP clubhouse.
Well, the big thing is at the pinnacle of their success, gentlemen, when everybody in our society is sick.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to be sick from something. So they are doing a good job.
I mean, what's better than to, you know, to depopulate and get the 500 million balance that they want than to rob you while they're killing you?
And what a better way to take over society is to get our brains so scrapped with drugs and contaminants in the food we eat and the air we breathe and the water we drink that we're not strong enough or mentally fit enough to recognize the enemy that's standing in front of us. I mean, look at society. Did you see the movie Zombie Apocalypse? You know how close we are to that, gentlemen?
Yeah,
look at the
extremely.
Well, 5G technology.
I mean, we all have it. We have. That's exactly what we're doing with this whole fighting back against Antifa. They are the horde, but instead of eating brains, they need brains.
Exactly.
You know, they're not using their brains. That's why they're screaming. Yeah.
They get $150 a day, buddy. I mean, it's pretty easy money, right? Put on a mask down there, remember three or four lines, chant them all.
We get this classification, and it dries up the money. So at the very least, it classifies them as a hate group. I hope domestic terrorist group. We start enforcing 309 because if you have convictions that you're so strong about that you're willing to shut down another person's rights, then you should have the guts to show your face and put your full standing behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And the unions too. That'll cut the unions out from donating to Antifa. We went to a hands-off Venezuela protest where, some people with, I believe they were OPSU or.
It was all uniform.
Anyway, so they were definitely with the union and they publicly admitted, yes, we're communist. Yes, we are going to donate to Antifa. We're going to continue. So we see it when we go to their events and, you know, there's always, they're like parasites. They're recruiting everywhere. And they're in lockstep, Antifa and the unions and academia alongside media. So, you know, once we start exposing this with Tory and, the incitement of violence, the defamation, we can, the bounds are limitless on who we can go after next.
I'm going to answer one question in chat there. Moon Girl asked me about how good hemp is in reducing radiation. There is peer-reviewed studies now of industrial hemp's ability to take nuclear isotopes out of soil. And those studies are online. You can go. They've done them in Japan, and they also did them in Europe, where they took soils with levels of nuclear isotopes, they planted industrial hemp, and 2.5 years, 3 years, 90% of the nuclear isotopes are gone.
Wow.
Because of the root system in hemp and what it does and how it grows, an 8-foot plant can have a 10-foot root.
Wow.
So it gets deeper into the soil than any conventional plant. It is actually the one thing that the human race really needs to embrace in the near future. We can make our plastics. We can make our plastics now out of hemp that become or biodegrade or become part of the earth 3 or 4 months after they're manufactured. So instead of worrying about throwing plastic in landfills, we want to throw the plastic in landfills because it's beneficial. That can all be brought into society if we embrace it. I won't talk about it anymore because I get. I won't stop, man. I won't stop. I'll go for an hour. Because everything is just something that we need to really look at. It's all part of the solution. And solutions are the things we need because we've got a lot of problems.
We do.
Too many problems.
It's overwhelming, but you take them one at a time.
99 problems, but a solution ain't one.
So, I want to let, your listeners know that, we're going to be heading back to Ottawa, sometime next week. And, we'll try and get whatever we can done here. There's a lot of projects that we had to put off just because people have, you know, their work lives, but we will probably be back, 2 weeks or less. We do want to get into Montreal very soon to help with the Blue Wave. That's on May the 4th.
May the 4th right. With you.
In Montreal, I believe.
Yep.
And, we're going to help a candidate who is, running for the PPC. That's Bernier's party. We're going to try and get Bernier's attention and see what he thinks about this defamation, this slander, this dehumanizing. And, you know, it's going to be a jump ball, whether or not Scheer wants to address it or Bernier or Ford.
We'll see what their true colors are made of, won't we?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, I get to fly to Ontario on 17th of July, so I'm looking forward to meeting you guys.
Yeah, we are too.
Yeah, should be a really good time meeting everybody back east that I want to meet. So looking forward to that. Counting the sleeps, guys.
Well, that's great.
So anyway, we're down to the last 3 or 4 minutes here. Do you want to guys talk about your Facebook page and I'll let you add a few thoughts here, and then we'll have to close up the first hour of the show.
Yeah, okay. So you can find me on Facebook under Derek Story and Noble Savages, and I'm on YouTube as well under Noble Savages, and we do all kinds of content for protests and whatever's going on. We do the Yellow Vests. We've been religiously doing the Yellow Vests. You only missed one or maybe two
out of 17. Yeah, and you can find me at Facts Versus Feelings on Facebook and YouTube. You can also reach me at Rick Boswick at Outlook.com. And DerekStory85@gmail.com. And like I said, once again, we need your testimonials to against Antifa to show the history, how it's affected you, if you've been assaulted, if you've ever been doxxed, if you've ever lost your job, or simply if you're so too intimidated because you know what to expect from these from this group, that you refuse to come out, and that's why we're not getting the numbers on the ground that we need to see. And this is a huge start. We get this going, and it opens the door, and it takes the power back. You can get involved just from writing a letter to us.
Use your free speech before it's gone. Now's the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it might not be here forever, guys. And the way it's going right now, I don't know if that's too far away, to be honest.
Yeah.
We really do need to get involved in what you guys have said or doing. I say kudos to you, man. It takes a lot of courage to do this, especially in light of the political situation we find ourselves in. Canada now is really ramping up, and things are getting ugly out there. So this is the time to get busy. And like I said, this Antifa thing, you know, so many people are tired of this, and here's an opportunity to really do something about it, folks.
Oh, we are. And there are a lot of people that are outspoken, like Mary, she is a God lover. She is so outspoken. And, you know, we're fed up. We're fed up just as a culture of having to bow down to political correctness at the same time being lashed by the silver tongues of lying media.
Well, now or never, gentlemen.
Exactly, now or never. So get on there, give us your testimony.
Okay, folks, well, please send in a testimony if you do have. Like I said, this
doesn't matter where you are in Canada.
Yeah, you send us a paragraph, then you're in the fight. You're actually contributing to getting this put through the court system, and then we can actually maybe have some justice for once.
Share your video links too in the emails, like from YouTube. Any event that you participated in and seen them and was caught on film, share those links off of YouTube, Facebook, whatever, because all that stuff matters to you.
Yeah.
There you go, folks. There's something that we can really grab and run with right now. Thanks, guys, for joining me. Been an awesome Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and like I said, Doug Force is in for the next hour, guys, and you know what? This will be my first conversation with Doug, and I'm looking forward to it. Very, very, very intelligent gentleman, and I'm looking forward to that. And if you gentlemen want to stick around, you're more than welcome to. I'm going to take about a 3-minute break, and I'll be right back with Doug Force.
Perfect. Thanks.
Well, welcome back to second hour, folks, and thanks for hanging around. And I've got Doug Force in here with me for the second hour. Mr. Force is a gentleman that I actually listened to on another gentleman's radio show a little bit, but really haven't paid too much attention to what he's got to say. And I thought myself that. All that being said, I've invited Mr. Force, and he's gracious enough to give me an hour of his time today to explain what they're working on and the solution to some of the political problems we have in Canada today. So, Doug, welcome to the show. And first off, would you tell people a little bit about yourself and get into what we're doing?
Absolutely. Everybody knows me as Doug Force, and I've been producing a movie called The Myth is Canada, a documentary film, for the last couple of years. I had spent about 12 years researching the information that's will be within the documentary film. And I literally stand on the shoulders of giants. There was a gentleman that I ran into quite a few years ago now, Eldon Warman. He passed away. Last year or the year before, 84 years old, he ran a website called Detax Canada. He introduced me to a gentleman by the name of Walter Cool, who wrote a letter to René Lévesque in 1976, and pretty much it piqued my interest at that point as to what really happened here in Canada, and put me on the trail of figuring it out, what happened and why we aren't a sovereign nation. We are 10 sovereign nations, but we are not Canada as a sovereign nation. And it wasn't until about 2016 that I was able to get the final piece of the puzzle. I was reading a book that I had found on a very obscure website called arg.org, And it was a book by Russell Rogers Smith. And the name of the book was Ho Canada. And in reading that book, it didn't take me very long to read it. It's only about 130 pages. I came across the missing piece of the puzzle. And the missing piece of the puzzle was the British North American Act acting as letters patent. And when I found that out, all of the research suddenly came together into my mind, and I thought, my God, now I can actually do something with this. I could produce a documentary film that will explain to the people here in the landmass known as Canada what actually happened and how we can fix it. And so the journey for the last couple of years has been to do just that. And here I am today with you, Barry. For the first time on your radio show, I've been on a number of different shows across Canada over the last couple of years, explaining in a Cole's Note kind of version as to what transpired. Now, I can do that if you'd like here on your show. I know a lot of the audience members have probably tuned in from The Myth is Canada on our webpage and on our Facebook page and in Du Jour Canada. As well as I did send this out to my email list to give you hopefully a bigger audience tonight.
I know appreciate if you did that, Doug.
Well, I know that these people are very cognizant of what's been going on. I offer to send people the book Ho Canada if they want to send me an email at leave their email address on The Myth is Canada on our Facebook page, and I'll send out copies of that in the Smith and Barr interview if they're interested. Now, I'll give you a synopsis of what took place, if you'd like.
Yes, I would really appreciate it if you took time and did that, Doug. I know people would love to hear this.
Okay, so back in, we'll start at what they call the Confederation in 1867. In 1867, there was John A. Macdonald took the Quebec resolutions, the 72 resolutions, over to the UK Parliament for Canada to actually confederate. The Quebec resolutions would have allowed Canada to confederate if they would have allowed that to happen. But John A. Macdonald, who was our first prime minister and a traitor to the people of Canada, sold us out. And Lord Thring at the time, who was a secretary to the Treasury in the UK, he took the Quebec resolutions and cherry-picked out of them and wrote the British North American Act, and at which point he then took it to the House of Lords. They passed it in the House of Lords, and the opening paragraph that would have allowed Canada to go ahead and confederate was removed and then passed into the House of Commons, where it was passed and utilized only as letters patent. So it was never actually given to Canada. And the first Governor General under the Dominion of Canada was given these letters patent or the British North American Act, which now were just a blueprint for him to create a central legislature for the United Colony under the Dominion of Canada. And so he was given these, signed by the Court and Chancery as letters patent. He then went over to Canada and took his seat in the Corporation Sole, now known as the Dominion of Canada. And for the next 1867 through 1931, various governor generals were given these letters patent, known as the British North American Act, and took their seat rightfully in the Corporation Sole and created each time the central government of the United Colony, which also meant the position of prime minister, the position of all the other positions within that United Colony legislature. Now, he had absolute control. He was the dictator. He also was the one that created the positions of lieutenant governors so that his edicts could be done throughout the provinces. Now, in 1931, we had the British Parliament decided to put an end to the Dominion and allow Canada to do what it should have done back in 1867, which was confederate, create a central federal authority. And so the Statute of Westminster was created and written and sent to Canada. And basically what it did, it put an end to the position of the Governor General. It nullified the letters patent. It nullified the Corporation Sole. And in doing so, ended the central legislature of the United Colony, or the federal authority is what we would know the federal authority. It ceased to exist. In other words, it no longer had any standing anywhere in law, period. It literally ceased to exist. Except the Mandarins at the time in Ottawa decided that they didn't want want to lose their power. They did not want to lose their wealth by allowing the people of Canada to actually confederate a central authority, which they would have had absolutely no control over. So they decided to ignore the Statute of Westminster and pretend it didn't exist. But they had problems because there was no longer Governor General of Canada. There were no longer letters patent. There was no longer a corporation sole. So how could they pretend that nothing changed when everything did? And hence the criminal fraud that was perpetrated on the people of Canada that goes on to this very day with Pierre Elliott Trudeau in 1982 actually going to England with the Canada Act that was created in the de facto legislature, liberal legislature at that time, which was an incorporation document, took it to the UK Parliament and had the Government of Canada, INC, created as a maritime incorporation in the UK Parliament. Now, historically, that was done twice before that I know of. The first one was done in 1923 by a gentleman by the name of St. John Philby, who went to the UK Parliament and had the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, INC, created. In 1948, under the Balfour Declaration, the UK Parliament created a maritime incorporation calling it the State of Israel, INC. And then again in 1982 with Pierre Elliott Trudeau. And pretty much that's where we stand today. There is no constitutional government here in Canada. There is no constitution here in Canada for a federal authority or for any of the provincial governments. There is no constitution. The constitutions need to be created by we the people in the 10 sovereign nations known as the provinces that were created under the Statute of Westminster in 1931. So today, the solution that I and people behind me at The Myth is Canada are offering to the people of Canada is the knowledge of what happened and how we can fix it by creating constitutional conventions in the provinces and creating a constitution that will seat a de jure government within those provinces. And then, if we so choose to create a federal authority, then we can hold a constitutional convention with the 10 or 5 or 3 or 2 provinces that want to actually cede a federal authority and hold a constitutional convention and create a constitution for that federal authority. Until we do that, all we have are these people in Ottawa and these people in the various centers in each of the provinces committing treason against the sovereign people of what we know as the landmass of commonly known as Canada. Anyways, that's it in a nutshell. Barry, go ahead.
Well, you know, I was quite honest when I said it's really hard for me to understand it all. It's something that I haven't really spent a lot of my time understanding how our system works in Canada. But the more and more I understand it, the more I realize how much we've been lied and stolen from, and the fact that we are living under a lie. And the solutions you're offering has really sparked interest in me. Anybody else in the room want to add a comment to what Doug has said? Rick or Derek or Ed? Yes, no? Okay, well, they're probably in the same boat as me. It's a lot for me to comprehend, I'm being quite honest, but boy, you've sparked an interest in me.
Barry, the thing is that we have a very comprehensive website up at themythiscanada.ca. On there, you can download the actual documentation, the historical documentation, or read it for yourself. And like I said, if people would want to get the Russell Roger Smith's writings, his book, Ho Canada, he did another book called Inside Canada from 1937. And he did a pamphlet for Alberta showing how they could create their own credit. He did an interview in the 1940s with a gentleman by the name of George Barr, who was the King's Counsel at that time, to the federal authority here in Canada. And they wanted to understand what the Statute of Westminster actually meant, as it was he who was the one that created the documentation that Mackenzie King took to England to have the UK Parliament insert into the Statute of Westminster for Canada. And so they wanted not interpretation of it, because he was the one that actually wrote the stuff, but his take on it, so to speak, because they were very unsure during that time as to what really they could do, because they knew they were illegal and unlawful, and they were scared that the people would know or find out. And after Russell Rogers told them about this in his interview, he was basically blacklisted. He was harassed, arrested, put on trial, and fined $50 at that time. And he wound up writing the book Ho Canada in 1965. It was in print up until 1972, but it was very limited. And after his death in 1968, basically the Canadian government went and grabbed as many of the copies as they could that were out there and literally burned the books because they didn't want the truth coming out.
Yeah, and now we see a country where we basically are being run by a dictator, that a government, you know, when it achieves a majority in Canada, we basically have no mechanisms in place to stop them from doing anything they want to do, and that's what we see going on in Canada right now. Well, we see the Prime Minister's office with an incredible amount of power, and they've slowly but surely added to their power base over the years.
Well, and the funny thing is, people who say, well, you know, what about we vote these people out of power? And I point people to the Little Child case that took place in Alberta, where Little Child was elected on the promise of voting down the GST when he got there, and he actually voted in favor of it. So his constituents took him to court and sued him for not fulfilling his election promises. And the judge said he had no, don't worry about it. He doesn't have to do that. Just because he lied to you doesn't mean he can't change his mind when he's in Ottawa. I mean, you don't have a leg to stand on. And so they lost. So when people say, well, we've got to vote, we can make changes, you can't, because your vote only means that, just that, nothing more. So exactly. The best thing you can do when you go to vote is destroy the ballot. And if enough people destroy the ballots, they'll have to recall and redo the votes. And then we do it, so it keeps them out of power.
Wow, there's a mechanism.
Yeah, so there are mechanisms at our disposal that we can go after the de facto whilst we're getting prepared to hold constitutional conventions and seat de jure governments.
Wow. That sounds like a pretty cool idea to me, man, because anything that can stop the lunacy we see going on right now in my country, I'm down for, because it's really gotten out of control here in the last little while. Unbelievable corruption in our government.
And
the
problem is you keep calling it your government. It's not. They have nothing to do with you. The only time they ever want to talk to you is when they want to empty your wallet of your money. That's it. Other than that, they could give a rat's ass about you. It has nothing to do with
you. I won't use that phrase again, okay, because they're not my government. You're absolutely correct. And you're right. The only time they talk to you is when they want to open your wallet, and we see them doing that more and more and more and more and more every day.
Exactly.
Boy, it comes to carbon tax. Oh, yeah, revenue neutral, we said. Yeah, yeah, okay, we forgot about that. I mean, anything to government. Look at what Trudeau said coming into his election promises and everything he said to everybody in Canada. It's all a lie. There's nothing about that guy that's truthful. You can say that about any politicians. They're all the same snake.
Well, I've always said, when a politician is lying to you?
When they start opening their mouths.
Yeah, when their lips are moving.
When they talk. You know, I would like to see them all wearing shock collars that are attached to their algorithms, and when they lie, they get a big shock. I think that should be mandatory, man.
I think it would just be better to see.
We can mandate vaccines. We can mandate shock collars, man.
No. I think it would be better just to seat de jure governments. We could put that in the Constitution. And then when we seat the de jure governments, we could round these sons of guns up and put them in prison for the rest of their lives after we strip them of all the assets that they took from us.
I was at a town hall on Friday night, and Michelle, I wanted to go up and talk to a couple of conservatives because they were there, and I wanted to put some hard questions to them. So Michelle Rempel was there, and Blaine Jenkins and Glenn Motz. Glenn Motz is the firearms critic for the conservative government. Of course, Michelle Rempel is the immigration critic for the conservative government. But I did get to put some hard questions to him, and I got to talk to him face-to-face after the town hall. And I got a few runaround questions answered, but basically the same again coming out of the mouth. But it was actually good to look face and put some hard questions to him and watch him smile a little bit. I put a couple questions forward to him on the United Nations involvement in Canada. And, I got a couple spirited answers, which I expect. But it was good to go up and confront him on a few things.
Well, here's the funny thing. The one question I would ask any politician, except of course Justin Trudeau, because he would think I was making a joke or something, because he doesn't understand anything anyway. But the only question I would ask them is how can you live with yourself knowing factually that the government that you represent is de facto and actually is a criminal fraud against the sovereign people of the landmass commonly known as Canada?
Well, I wish you'd been at that town hall.
The politicians avoid me like the plague.
Well, they don't like the truth, do they?
Oh, Oh God,
when
no!
When you shine a light on a radical Syrian, man.
You know, it's like pouring. It's like what's her name in The Wizard of Oz? She threw the bucket of water on the Wicked Witch of the East or West or whatever it was.
Dorothy.
I'm sorry.
Dorothy. Wasn't Dorothy the one that did
Dorothy,
that?
That was it. Dorothy. Yeah. Dorothy. The Wicked Witch. She melts. I'm melting. That's the politicians when they're faced with the truth. No, turn the light off.
I did put one question to him that got the whole place roaring. Is my first question was a real short one. It says, how do you three people sit in the House of Commons every day and listen to the total crap BS that comes out of Prime Minister Trudeau's mouth? And the whole place, how do you sit there? And the whole place roared with laughter. And it was probably the funniest moment of the night. But they all told me that they wear headphones and they don't listen to them because they get violently ill too. That was my, I forced myself to listen to the guy talk. I do. Because I get a violent physical reaction when I listen to the guy talk. I really do. It's so pathetic.
You know how I sleep like a baby at night. You know why? Because I don't pay attention to anything they're doing. The only thing that I focus on is the story that we're pushing here, is the factual story that we're pushing here with The Myth is Canada, and helping people gain the knowledge to seat de jure governments in the provinces and get rid of this shit in our lives. We don't need this stressful garbage daily pumped to us through the televisions and through the internet, et cetera, when it's all BS.
Yeah, the only reason I pay attention to is because a lot of people don't, and I do share a lot of information with a lot of people, and like I said, Doug, a lot of them aren't paying attention, and I do raise a lot of attention, so...
Well,
I have to watch what the enemy's doing.
No, I commend you for that. You know, Sun Tzu says, know your enemy as you should know yourself.
Exactly. Well, you got to know what he's up to and what he's saying. So you can kick back against it and point out to people what exactly is going on and look at it from a common sense point of view. I mean, look at the new gun laws they're trying to bring into Canada. They're not going to stop till we have our guns. We know that.
And here's the wonderful thing. When we seat a de jure government through constitutional conventions, we write our own constitutions. And we could, here in the sovereign nation known as Ontario, we can actually have a clause in the constitution that says we have the right to bear arms.
Mm.
Why not? Well, our constitution. We can write it any way we want it. If it says in the constitution that we can write that everybody on a Sunday afternoon is allowed one strawberry sundae from Dairy Queen, then guess what? That's law of the land. On Sunday afternoon, everybody goes to Dairy Queen and gets one strawberry sundae, because that's law of the land.
Okay, does it have to be strawberry? We have to have strawberry?
Yeah, okay, whatever sundae you decide.
Okay, you're a sundae of your choice. But we don't want to be discriminatory. We don't want to be anti-gender here. We got to make sure that we're politically correct about it, Doug.
I don't do cultural Marxism. I'm sorry. Cultural Marxism.
I'm trying to be funny because
I know.
That's the subject that absolutely drives me insane, man. What's going on to our children? It is absolute outright child abuse that's happening in our society.
A guy that I love to watch is a gentleman by the name of Jordan Peterson, who happens to be a tenured professor at the University of Toronto. I just love that guy. I mean, he's just amazing.
I haven't listened to every video he's made. I have to listen to him two or three times, Doug, because it's to keep up with his train of thought. You know, everything he's saying is absolutely spot on. But I got to listen to it a couple times just to catch it all. I love Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Great guy.
I do, too. And there's a gentleman over in Europe that I followed for a number of years, Nigel Farage.
I love him too.
Oh God! When he stood up in the EU Parliament and he would just tear a strip off him for 5 minutes, I just pee myself laughing. It was so wonderful. And he's articulate and he's smart, and it's not like he's just swearing at him or anything like that. But he actually just drives a nail right through the middle of their foreheads. Very much along the lines of Jordan Peterson over here.
Yeah, no, he's one to listen to. And, you know, there's lots of people that I do listen to. I mean, we'll never, ever agree with everybody's opinions on everything. But Tommy Robbins is another guy that I take my hat off for, love him or hate him. He has had the intensity, the audacity to stand up against the system. And, that's a hard thing to do in our world now, because we are subjecting ourselves to incredible attacks. Just like Rick and Derek and what they're doing right now. and actually going after the mayor of Toronto. I mean, it's a small thing, but it's really setting an example to people exactly what we can do if we put ourselves together, the power we still have. You know, and I mean, I see these things going on, and boy, I tell you, I applaud what they're doing right now, Doug.
Well, here's the thing. We have all the power. That's the thing. We don't see what we're teaching of the Myth is Canada is not just the knowledge of what happened, but the knowledge that we the people, have the power. We just need to stop consenting and giving it away.
We do not consent, period. It's time for civil disobedience in our society, and that is something I honestly believe it's time for. I mean, if we don't stand up to it, Doug, how far are they going to go? They won't stop until they achieve their end goal, which, you know, I have a pretty good idea what that is, and you probably do too, but they're not going to stop until they achieve that.
Well, and there's a wonderful thing happening now on the global stage, which is something I do watch on a daily basis. Not so much here in Canada, but I do watch what goes down in the United States and what happens on a global stage with their empire is collapsing. The EU and what's happening within the EU with a Brexit, with what's going on in Italy and Greece, Germany, Hungary, et cetera, et cetera. And I look at what's going on with Russia on a world stage, what's happening in Syria and the Middle East on the world stage. Yeah. Pakistan and India, now that they've come into the foreground. Also, what's happening in China and what they're doing within Africa and South America and so forth. But we've got to understand something. The fiat currency system that was imposed upon us on a global stage in 1971, in August of 1971, by Richard Nixon, by taking the Federal Reserve note denominated as the U.S. dollar off the gold standard.
Right.
And putting it as a pure fiat currency is now coming to an end. No fiat currency in the history of mankind, which started about 2,000 years ago in China, they were the ones that invented it, has lasted longer than 50 years. As a matter of fact, no fiat currency in the history of mankind has actually lived 50 years. They've always died before the 50th year. This year, 2019, is year 48 of 50. No, it was year 48 of 50. Okay? Next year is 49. So we're in the final stages of a global economic situation where the Federal Reserve note, denominated as the U.S. dollar, will no longer be a reserve currency on a global stage, which means that it will reach its intrinsic value of zero, meaning all of the fiat currencies which are attached to it will also go to their intrinsic value of zero. And we don't have long before that happens. And I would suggest that in all likelihood, the United States will see civil war probably prior to their 2020 election, that President Trump today is probably going to be the last elected president of the United States once it goes into, because it'll go, I'm not just the only one that thinks this. There are a lot of very intelligent people out there who are thinking this, the same thing. That this is going to happen, and that Trump will be the last president in the United States before the empire collapses. And once it collapses into civil war.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. No, I'm going to comment when you're finished there, Doug, but I couldn't.
Well, I pretty much did it. I mean, that was pretty much it.
Well, I'll tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. When you really think about it, if they want to bring society to their knees and they want to gain complete control over society, all they have to do is collapse the dollar. And when they control the money, they control what happens to that money, and they can collapse our economies in the blink of an eye, worldwide. And they're waiting for that moment. I believe that is the mechanism they will use to bring society to its knees, to bring in a new world banking system, where we'll be under control of a one world banking system. And I can see that being played out right now. I can see the collapse coming. I saw this 3 or 4 years ago. I listened to guys like Gerald Celente all the time. I listen to everybody that's talking about economy around the world. And you're right. It's being set up to fail. It was never designed to last. It was set up to fail to bring us to this particular point where a new mandate is brought onto society. And it's all being played up in front of our face. You're spot on, my friend.
Well, and the funny thing is that, and I watch the markets because that's kind of my background. I come out of a financial background. And I watch the markets, and in North America, your stock markets, your commodities markets, your forex markets, et cetera, they're all 100% manipulated. And if you understand that they're manipulated, then you can actually see the fear that these guys have through the manipulation and understand that they are going to be going away. Their plans for all this wonderful taking over the world, the IMF with the SKR or the SDR currency coming out, and possibly even being a cryptocurrency and all this other stuff, is it's like sand going through their hands. They are in so much fear right now that they're in so much trouble that they actually had Basel III came in on Friday and they made gold a tier one asset. So that they can wind up confiscating the as bail-ins to their banker buddies all the gold that we hold privately in our hands. They because the banks over the next few months will probably wind up here in Canada. You can open gold accounts where you could deposit your gold into the bank and have them hold it because it's now a tier one asset.
But don't forget.
Don't forget that Harper had his finance minister in the financial budget that he put through just before he left office, they made law the bail-ins. And so if gold is a tier one asset, it becomes the same as cash, and you deposit it in the bank, they can bail themselves in with your gold. And you don't have a leg to stand on.
They can come and grab it, Doug. People don't realize that.
But here's the problem they have. And there's not enough gold in the Western world to actually help them on a global stage when China and Russia and the BRICS nations and the 162 Monaco Accord nations switch to a gold standard.
Right.
They excuse my language, but I'm going to use this word. We are fucked.
Okay.
And so are they because they.
Go ahead.
Sorry, but it's the only real word that describes what's going to happen. You will see here in North America, not so much in Mexico, and possibly not as bad in Canada, but in the United States and in the European theater, the literal collapse of their societies. Where we're lucky here in Canada, as a matter of fact, Putin, Vladimir Putin came out about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, stating that the five currencies that Russia will accept going into the future are going to be their own ruble, the yuan renminbi, the Japanese yen, the Indian rupee, and the Canadian dollar. So isn't that interesting? And there's a reason for that. We are a very resource-rich country. The problem we have is with the de facto government not allowing us, we the people, we the sovereign people, to exploit our own natural resources. And that's a problem. And they are doing that at the behest of the, what I call on a global stage, the globalist parasites, that they want control absolute over everything. And it's going through their hands like sand, like when you pick up dry sand in a desert. They can't, and that's the problem. And I think what we're going to see before anything happens here is we might see a shooting war break out, and that would be very sad because that's loss of life.
Yeah, and they, the people involved might have their fingers on a nuke too, and that could be a really bad day. Really bad day. I mean, we look at India and Pakistan rattling their sabers at each other right now. Well, India has 17 nuclear bombs and India has about 24, as far as I could find out. Well, if they go at it and we ever see that happen on our planet, are we in a big pile of poop? Because one report I read, I'm just going to add this, one report I read, I've actually read about three reports on the effects of nuclear explosions on the planet, but if we were to see an accumulation of 20 or 18 or 20 nuclear bombs go off within a very short period of time of each other, we could be literally wiping out life on the planet, guys. Isn't that great?
Absolutely.
Don't you love nuclear bombs, Doug? What a good invention that was.
See, honestly, I don't think Pakistan and India are going to nuke each other because the cross-border winds that blow, the fallout will wind up killing each other, but then killing themselves as well. It'd be suicide.
Yeah.
I don't believe that it'll come down to a nuclear war on this planet, to be honest with you. I mean, we got the Zionazis down in Washington, D.C., who are, you know, if we can't win, then nobody can win. But I think there's enough U.S. military down there with their sidearms ready to go to, you know, literally to drop them. I'm sorry, Zionazis, I'll make this clear. Zionazis are neoconservatives. The reality is that they're Zionists and they're national, the way that they came up with neocons was through a guy called, what's his name? I can't remember the story. Anyways, they're Zionazis. We'll leave it at that. But the military down there, and Trump has been very good at doing this, and I got to commend him at this. A lot of the top end generals that were very pro Israel, very pro middle, you know, going and bombing the shit out of the Middle East and so forth, they've kind of moved off. They've been kind of put out to pasture. They've gone on to work in the defense industry. And I'm not saying that the guys that are there now aren't pro this and pro that. They are, but they're also not stupid. When they got rid of Mad Dog Mattis, which was, you know, finally, we got rid of this moron, the people that replaced him, you know, they actually have common sense. And I think that if somebody said, well, we're going to nuke, blah, 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 I think that they would take out their political appointees that came in there, the civilian sides, with their sidearms. I think it would just be a very quick cutting off the heads of those morons.
Well, there's enough sane people in the world that I don't believe that a nuclear exchange will happen between nations, but the fact that there's some lunatics in the world right now, maybe with their finger on a trigger, is kind of a scary prospect. And there is some lunatics in the world that I believe would use a nuclear weapon. So hopefully there's enough sane people involved that that never happens, Mike or Doug, because that will be the end of life as we know it. So, but it's the lunatics I worry about.
Well, and it doesn't keep me up at night simply because, hey, look, if they push the button, there ain't nothing to wake up to in the morning anyway.
Exactly.
Because we ain't here.
No, it's just something, you know, common sense I talk about. I try and talk common sense about everything. And
no, I understand.
Weapons, you know, nuclear weapons have no place on our planet, but they're here now and we have to deal with it. So it's the same thing as nuclear energy and everything else I see going on with nukes. To me, it's the most destructive thing that was ever unleashed on the human race. And now we're looking at a potential of actually exterminating life on the planet through the luxuries of nuclear power. So to me, it's insanity. And the sooner we get away from it, the sooner we have a possibility of seeing life in the future. Boy, I tell you,
I've done
a lot of looking into nuclear in the last 3-4 years, buddy, and it drives me insane.
No, we need to bring back natural gas and coal-fired electrical plants where there isn't the ability to do hydroelectrics. This green energy garbage is just garbage. Solar, good grief. You would have to cover the entire planet with solar panels just to get enough to feed New York City. Wind energy is the other side. I was down in California. I was doing the movie Bamboozled, The Reseeding of the Republic, when I was down there before they asked me to leave. And I was out in the Coachella Valley, where my writer-director lived, and I worked out there with him for off and on over a two-year period. And you want to take a look at what windmills look like when they're abandoned. The Coachella Valley is full of them. And 90% of the windmills that were built in the Coachella Valley are still up and still not working. And they're too expensive to take down. And so they have these massive, and there are no birds, by the way, in the Coachella Valley of any stature. The condors and the eagles and the hawks and all that stuff have moved on to greener pastures, the ones that weren't murdered by the by these, literally, there's 10,000 of these windmills down there. It goes on for mile after mile after mile after mile. And they not, and like I say, 90% of them don't work. They're not producing anything other than spinning. So wind power is another thing that we got to be an idiot to think that we can suddenly replace abiotic fuels with this green energy crap.
On solar, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit, Doug, because it's something I do look into a lot, and I know that advancements in production in solar have come a long ways in the last couple of years. I see them now being able to produce solar panels with 3D printers. The fact that now they are producing solar roof panels that will power your house. I know the Google solar farm that they built down in Arizona is, I went online and looked at what they're actually producing out of that solar farm, and the figures I got were 1/3 of the power requirements for the city of Los Angeles. Did you look into that at all?
No, I the last time I've looked at solar, I was, when I was doing the Leaf Foundation, we were doing the, we were looking at ways to replenish the, because of desertification, we were looking at ways of bringing back the rainforests. And in some parts of the rainforest in South and Central America, it had already become deserts. And so we were looking at bringing in solar at that point. And the efficiencies really weren't that great. They were still, you know, they were okay, but the best type of solar you could get to power anything would be out beyond the Earth's atmosphere. And in space, you put your solar panels up there, and we were looking at stuff like that with land-based solar farms working in conjunction with these space-based solar farms and supplying energy that way. But the technology, we still weren't there yet. We were at least 50 years away, and that was 10 years ago.
Well, just imagine if we spent a tenth, or say we spent 25% of what the world spends on developing weapons and building weapons to kill ourselves every year. If we spent 25% of that money on developing solar technology, how far it would go over Tesla technologies or magnetic technologies. I'm looking at magnetic generators now that have incredible potential using the neodymium magnet, which we never had when I was a kid, but these magnets now have so much power in them that it only makes sense that if you have power in a magnet, that you can make that magnet do work for you. And there's people that are developing magnetic generators now, Doug, that are absolutely, in my opinion, perpetual, that they're over unity, that they're producing more than they actually take to run. And yep. To me, that is over unity. And I see these reports coming around the world all over the place. I believe that in the future that we need to get away from fossil fuels, not right away because the transfer in society would rock society. But I see that in the future, I have to believe that we have the potential to produce energy that is non-interfering in the environment in any shape or form. I believe that technology exists.
I worked in the oil business in the 1980s. I worked for a small company out of Calgary called Dome Petroleum. And one of the, because you used the term fossil fuels, and I thought it was fossil fuels when I started working for them. And then I was let in on the biggest secret in the oil business. Dead dinosaur juice is not what they drill. It's abiotic fuels. The earth continues to make it on an ongoing basis. We can never run out of oil, because the earth continues to make it. And I thought, no way, why would the earth make oil? And one of the geologists, he said, look, how many fault lines are on the earth? And I said, well, thousands of fault lines. I says, they're tectonic plate shifts and so forth. He says, now, where do you think we find the heaviest deposits of oil in the world? And I said, really? On the fault lines? He says, of course. The earth produces oil as a lubricant for the fault lines and for the tectonic plate structures of the world. And I thought, oh my God, of course it would. The Russians during the 1930s and 1940s tried to figure out how the earth did this. It wasn't until the 1960s that they actually were able to reproduce how the earth does this at 18,000 meters at the mantle, and they were successful. Again, in 2004, a Swedish lab went through and did the Russians experiment and were successful. And then again in 2012, I think it was, down at the University of Texas, they were able to reproduce and prove that oil is abiotic. Now, the one in Texas, they were basically the people that did it were kicked out of the school for doing it, and all their research was confiscated. Because it's the secret that the oil industry doesn't want you to know, that we're never going to run out, and that way they can charge $60 or $70 a barrel and $6 a gallon at the pump in Europe and $4 a gallon at the pump here in Canada. If you look, here's another interesting fact. Russia has drilled 371 wells. The last well they actually drilled was in the 1990s. All of those wells go at least 18,000 meters to the Earth's mantle. All they do is now clean and keep the wells flowing. If oil on a global scale went to a penny a barrel, Russia would still make money because those wells have been bought and paid for 10 times over. And so they figured it out back in the 60s where it was and how to get it. And the rest of the world, that's why they went after the USSR and wanted to collapse the USSR, was because they didn't want the rest of the world finding this out. Under the USSR, back in the 70s, they went into India and Pakistan and they were drilling an 18,000 meter hole down there, and the U.S. military actually sent in special forces and destroyed the drilling platform. killed a lot of people doing it too. And the USSR never then crossed the borders again with that technology. Well, they're in Venezuela today. So guess what they've got? Guess what they got going on down there?
Let me think now. One of the oil countries in the world.
So when you talk about fossil fuels, you're actually putting yourself in a category of those that don't know. The other thing too that we have to remember is that gasoline and diesel and kerosene and all these elements that were created from cracking that molecule were waste products. They actually only needed two parts of the molecule, one for plastics, for the creation of plastics, which is about 1.9% of the molecule, and then the other crack was for the pharmaceutical industry that required 0.8% of the molecule. So less than 2% of the molecule for hydrocarbons that they cracked was utilized, had profitability, and gasoline and all that other stuff were just garbage. And so in order that we didn't have lakes of gasoline and diesel and kerosene, they pushed the internal combustion engine. And during the 60s and the 70s, those engines didn't get very good gas mileage. And by mind you, gas wasn't very expensive back then, so it didn't matter that you got 6 to 8 miles to the gallon. because it was used up. So when you look at this and you think about, and I'll give you another quick example. So if you have an internal combustion engine and you burn gasoline in it, does it produce carbon dioxide?
Answer would be yes.
Answer is actually no. It doesn't produce carbon dioxide. It produces carbon monoxide. In order for the internal combustion engine to produce carbon dioxide, you have to add a catalytic converter onto the exhaust system so that the carbon monoxide is turned into carbon dioxide, the gas of life. In 1975, it became mandatory that all cars in North America had catalytic converters put on them because carbon monoxide, a poisonous gas, was killing people through inversions in Houston, Texas, in Los Angeles, California, and other places like that. Do you remember the yellow smog that used to be in L.A. in the 60s and the 70s?
Yeah,
that was carbon monoxide.
Yeah, and I understand that. And that's why I said what's coming out of the internal combustion now engine on the street is carbon dioxide. But, yeah, I was aware that it was.
Take the catalytic converter off, and it doesn't produce carbon dioxide.
Exactly. Okay. Well, and the answer to your question would be, if without a catalytic converter, yes, it would be carbon monoxide coming out of your tailpipe, which is pretty deadly stuff.
Absolutely, which is why they produce the gas of life, carbon dioxide, because it helps trees grow by absorbing through that and produces oxygen so we can live.
But we've got to put a carbon tax in place now because carbon's killing us, buddy. God, what's wrong with you?
You can't die of carbon dioxide poisoning. You know that, right? Because there's no such thing.
I'm being sarcastic. And, of course, you know, Canada, we don't factor into the equation that Canada actually produces a third or what is it, one-tenth of the carbon that we actually absorb due to the land mass of our forests in Canada. And now this carbon tax is being rammed down our throat. Boy, oh, boy, what a tax grab that is, Doug.
Well, then the other thing too is the world, carbon dioxide on a global scale is considered a trace gas or 0.04% of the gases in the atmosphere today.
Right.
And man's contribution to carbon dioxide in the atmosphere today is 0.50 and a 9. So it's 0.00009%. So if man suddenly left the planet tomorrow, the world wouldn't even know we had gone.
But we're the ones that are changing it all, buddy, and we've got to pay the government now because they're going to fix it. As soon as they put this carbon tax in, all this stuff is going to stop, man. That's what Trudeau said. He doesn't lie. Come on.
They don't want to hear the facts because it interferes with their thievery.
You think the liberals could have found somebody a little bit better to run their party, you know, somebody that can actually speak, somebody that's got a brain, somebody that doesn't need a teleprompter. I mean, this guy, he could do a Saturday night comedy show talking seriously to people, you know, that's so funny.
Well, and look at Barry Obama in the States. I mean, he, as soon as his teleprompter went away, he was an idiot.
Yeah, he was stuck for an answer.
He is another PFN.
ask him for his name, he was stuck for an answer. Hey, listen, is anybody still sitting in here? I know we've been talking for the last hour, and I think there's still some people sitting in here. Is Derek and them gone? Is Ed still in here? Anybody want to comment? Ed, you've been sitting patiently. We're down to the last 7 minutes of the show. Do you want to say something, buddy?
Well, what people got to realize is that what Doug Force is talking about is all factual, and it's totally doable. And if you want to look at some recent examples, look at what happened in Iceland a few years ago. What happened in Balkans in the 90s, they all sat de jure governments. Doug, you want to expand on that and how great the future is going to be if we actually do this?
Well, and Ed, you're absolutely correct. The power belongs to us. It's always been in our hands. Their whole illusion is that they are powerful and they have some sort of authority over us. Yet when they're pressed to prove that they have authority, they have none. They can't prove it. And the people of Iceland got fed up with their banksters stealing from them. And basically they held a constitutional convention and changed the constitution because they're the people that wrote the constitution. They can change the constitution. Of course they can, legally and lawfully. And they changed the constitution. They jailed the bankers. They stripped them of their assets and put that back into the pot so that the people that got stolen from at least were able to be compensated somewhat from that. You're right about the Baltic states. When they left the USSR, they were in turmoil. And throughout Estonia, Lithuania, and there's another one over there, three of them, they actually did hold constitutional conventions. We didn't hear a lot about it because during that dark period in their history, the Western media didn't want to tell people over here that we have the power while they were creating, through their power, their legal and lawful governments that they have today. Hmm. Well, would you, if you were a multi-billionaire owning the media conglomerate that you own, and your buddies are multi-billionaires with their private jets and they go to Davos and they have fun and they're Bilderbergers and all this other stuff, would you suddenly want to tell the rest of the world that they have the power that you actually don't? Whoopsie.
Next time they're at the Bohemian Grove, they'll be talking about this particular issue again, I'm sure, Doug.
Yeah, they're gonna burn an effigy of me down there next year.
Boy, yeah, you're gonna be on top of the pile there before they light it on fire.
Let's hope they don't kidnap me and take me there alive.
That's another one we could talk about. Another rabbit hole to go down. There's thousands we could go down, man, and that's one that we could go down, but we don't have time. Go ahead.
You should reach out to Daniel Estula. Wow, is that guy? I went to a talk that he did here in Toronto a few years ago. Now, there's a guy who you could have on your show for 2 hours, and he'd be completely engrossed in what he has to say. He's an amazing man to listen to, and just your audience will be in absolute awe.
Well, Doug, if he's anything like you, I'd love to meet him because I think you've done an incredible job today. I think you're an amazing man, and I take my hat off to you for what you're doing. And I'm going to ask you before we leave today what I can do to really get involved in helping you get this information out. And my radio station and my pages are available to you, sir. So let's talk more about this when the show's over.
Sure. Absolutely. Before we go, because we work on donations for Making the Myth is Canada, I always like to let people know that if you go to www.themythiscanada.ca, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little piece of that says donations. If you push that, come to our donation page. We doesn't matter whether you donate $5 or $500. Doesn't matter. It's a matter of just helping us help you get this information out. And we do it through PayPal and through PayPal credit cards. We do it also through e-transfers and we accept cryptocurrencies as well. If you want to send us an email, we'll send you the Ethereum wallet address or the Bitcoin wallet address. Anyway, that's www.themythiscanada.ca. Upper right-hand corner, donate. Thank you.
Well, hey, Ed and Doug, I want to thank you both for joining me, and Derek and Rick early in the first hour. It was great talking with you guys. I am really going to look into this a lot more here going forward, Doug, because we really do need answers, and this seems to be a very viable route to go right now for us Canadians that are pissed off beyond pissed off and looking for an answer to solve the problems. So I want to thank you again for joining me today, sir, and great information. And I'd love to have you back here in a couple of weeks, and we can continue on this conversation. There's lots of writing, but I'm sure we could go down.
Be absolutely delighted.